As we begin the period of the 3 weeks, the period leading from Shivasa Ratamos to Tisha B'Av, the time of intense mourning, mourning that mounts, that culminates in Tisha B'Av, which is mourning for the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the destruction of the Temple. I'd like to focus this year, instead of on the mourning, on what we should be longing for. What is the opposite side of this mourning? What should be our anticipation? Not only should we be focusing on mourning, but at the very same time, we should be anticipating a different time, a different reality. And I'd like to try to understand, what is this reality, what is this time we should be anticipating, which, as we will see, is pertinent for the entire year, every day, but obviously much more intense, the focus during these 3 weeks. Very, very fascinating Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that when a person comes to the final judgment after 120 years, there are a number of questions that a person is asked. Source 1, Nasata v'natata b'emuna, did you conduct your business transactions faithfully? Kavati itim l'tara, did you set aside fixed times for learning? Asakti b'piria v'rivya, did you try to have children or support others to be able to have? Sipita l'Yeshua, did you wait in hope for the Messianic salvation? And Pilpalta v'chochma, did you delve into wisdom? These are the questions that are asked at the Day of Judgment. And as Rabbi Fran notes, or my friend in print, he says, if we can answer all four of these questions affirmatively, we look forward to a comfortable seat in Gan Eden. With respect to the first three, at least, it's clear there's been a lot of preparation for the final exam. There's a lot of schmoozing on making sure we have ethical business dealings, that we know the halachos of our business dealings, people earning Torah in an unprecedented amount, period, the rivia, people at least are, you know, having as many children as able, and no subgroup in America has many children as religious Jews who make such great sacrifices to provide a particular type of education to a children. So if a person doesn't have their own children, they help support the education of other children. When we look at these questions, we notice the common thread running through them. They all have to do with our daily lives. The questions do not focus on such yearly events as eating matzah on Pesach or eating in a sukkah, but our day-to-day activities. The test would seem to be to the extent which our awareness of Hashem permeates every aspect of our daily existence. If it is true that the first three questions all concern our daily activities, then it should be obvious that the anticipation of Mashiach, Sipita l'Yeshua, the fourth question also has to do with our daily thoughts. The longing for Mashiach must be part of the very fiber of our beings, not an awareness in which we occasionally arouse ourselves. When we say Modani in the morning, we have to say to ourselves, this could be the day. When no news of Mashiach's arrival has reached us by noontime, we should think to ourselves, already noon? Still hasn't come? As we go to bed, however, well, the day has gone, there should be still a feeling something missing. Another day without Mashiach. So again, as we begin with, this is a feeling that should permeate our being every day of the year. Every hour, Sipita l'Yeshua, do we long for the Messianic redemption, is a question that is an overall question that permeates our entire lives. Having said this, it is even more so during the 3 weeks. During the 3 weeks when we're focusing on the Churban, on the destruction, the anticipation for the redemption has to be at a heightened level, and hence, albeit that this year is pertinent for the entire year, I could give it, you know, Zion Cheshvan or Zion Teveh, it is much more applicable, or it's much stronger. We feel this sense of urgency during the 3 weeks. Let's just try to understand a little bit of what this question is all about. Where's the basis of this? From where do we know? What's the source that we should be longing for Mashiach? And then I'd like to speak about why is this such a fundamental aspect of Yiddishkeit, and then end with what are some practical levels that we can be able to integrate this anticipation into our lives. The first idea is based on the Das Torah, Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, who notes that we say in Aleinu, it's part of Chumash, Pasuk says, V'yadata hayom v'ashevel selu avecha. We should know today, we should take to our heart, Ki Hashem hu alukim, that Hashem is the God. V'ashamayim imal v'alaretz mitachat, in the heavens above and the earth below. Based on this, the Smak, the Sefer Mitzvos Katan, and his first mitzvah, says that this is the mitzvah of belief in Hashem, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that I am Hashem. To believe that Hashem is all-powerful, Ein Od Milvato, there's none other than Hashem. And He is the one who's in charge of the heavens above and the earth below. As an upshot of this belief in Hashem, as an upshot of this first mitzvah of Amunah, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, comes Sibita Yeshua, comes the longing for Mashiach. And he notes here, Hinei lo sho'olim la'adam im humaymin b'Yeshua. We're not asked, do you believe in the salvation? Elim hu mitzapet, do you long for it? Which means that every day you wait, every moment, will the redemption come today? Achake lo b'chol yom shiyavo. I wait for it every day, lest it come. Why? Because what we're waiting for is shleimus habriya. What we're waiting for is the completion of the creation. Because if we really believe that Ein Od Milvado, there's none other than Hashem, then I realize that at any moment, din reka, in a second, the whole world can change, and the world as it was meant to be will reach its completion. In this mitzvah, Sipita Yeshua, the mitzvah of Seishal Anochi, if we believe in Hashem, then I believe that the Shleimus HaBriya, the way Hashem envisioned the world, will be able to appear in seconds. So the mitzvah, says the Smak, of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, is a mitzvah to believe that Hashem has created a world where God consciousness should permeate the entire world. And that idea of longing for Mashiach is longing for this state of being that Hashem has envisioned in this world. And this is what the Das Torah speaks about at length in 5 and 6. That Hashem originally in 6 created a world with Adam HaRishon, where the world should have reached its level of completion that very day. Had Adam HaRishon been able to take God consciousness to the nth degree and not sin, we would have entered into Shabbat, Adam HaRishon was created Erev Shabbos, we would enter into Shabbat as a day of Yom Shekulo Shabbat, the day of the complete rest, the day of the completion of the world. And instead, we now have these 6,000 years, which is trying to be able to bring ourselves back to be metaking that 1 hour that Adam HaRishon had to wait. That our world is really trying to rebuild what was destroyed in the inability of Adam to wait for that 1 hour. But we have to recognize that the vision of the completion of the world, like the DNA of that vision, was found in the creation story. This is how Hashem envisioned the world. And therefore, unlike a building which takes a long time to build, the world to revert back to its perfected state will take no time at all. And this is indeed what we say in the second paragraph in 5 in Aleinu. And this, parenthetically, is a very beautiful place to be able to be mekayim, Sipita Yeshua's, to daven Aleinu with tremendous amount of kavanah. We say in Aleinu, L'shabeach ve'adat hayom v'shabel se alovecha ki Hashem Elokim v'shamayim imal v'aretz v'tachat eino. But Hashem is all-encompassing. And we have to think about it and believe in it. And then we say, Ve'al kein nekaveh lecha. Therefore, we yearn, we long, Hashem Elokeinu, l'ra'ol, to see, and here's the crucial word, Mehera v'tiferet uzecha, quickly, with the glory of your power, of your greatness. That the world is going to change, this is what we're saying in Aleinu, if we're thinking about it, Mehera v'tiferet uzecha. It's not going to be a long, drawn-out process. And it can be mehera in a blink of an eye. There should be nothing stopping for the world to revert back to its original state. And this idea that the Tzipita Lishua is longing for the perfected world, it's longing for the world as Hashem originally envisioned it, is what the Nesiva Shalom speaks about, the Solomon Rebbe, in understanding the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim in Source 7. The Rambam writes, HaMelech HaMashiach Atid La'amo, Melech HaMashiach is going to be established, V'chomi, and then a little bit later on he says, V'chomi She'no Ma'amin Bo, and one who does not believe that Mashiach will come, the Messiah will come, Omi She'no Mechakeh L'viyato, listen to the language of the Rambam, or one who doesn't anticipate his coming, not only in other Nevi'im is he kofer, is he an apostate, but rather in the Torah itself, because the Torah says, V'shav Hashem Elokecha, et shvutcha v'richamcha v'shav kibtcha, that Hashem is going to bring us back, there's going to be a time of purity in this world. Now this is very interesting. From the language of the Rambam, it's not just enough to believe, as the Chumash tells us, there's going to come a time where God's presence is going to be found in the world. It's not enough just to believe in it, but the Rambam says that anyone who is not mechakeh l'viyaso, one who doesn't long for, one who doesn't say during the day, oh, I can't believe Mashiach is in here, Mashiach has to come today, you don't yearn for it. That when you say Aleinu, and you say, Liro Mehera Tuferu Zechai, you believe Mehera, this moment, I close my eyes, boom, Mashiach will be here. Then you're a kofer. You're somebody who doesn't believe in Torah. That's pretty intense. And explains in the Nesiva Shalom, based on what we saw, he says, V'hainu in 7, Shetov Beinav, in the bracket, HaMatzav Anochachi, Kamochehi, the bold, because a person who doesn't believe and yearn for Mashiach, believes that the world is okay as it is right now. V'hainu Mitzapeh LeYeshua, and he doesn't yearn for the salvation. And the reason is the following. What is Mashiach about? So obviously there's a lot to say about it. It's not our subject for today. Inyan biyas haMashiach hu atikun haGomor shel Abriya. But in very broad strokes, Mot haMashiach is the time where there's going to be the ultimate completion, the ultimate state of being in the world. It's a good Abriya. Abriya, and this is all on Aleinu, my friends. Go study Aleinu. L'taken olam v'machut shakai. To have the world recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence, where you'll have Kimala Aretz Deyat Hashem, that you'll have the world with knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'zu Tachli Shulaman Abar Hashem Yifarach Ekol Abriya, and this is why Hashem created the world. V'chol Mitziyut HaNochachit Shel Abriya, and the world that we live in now, the world of falsehood, the world of pain, the world of missiles being shot at innocent people, that camps have to be closed and that people have to be running to their shelters in seconds. This type of world is not the world that Hashem envisioned. A world of kidnapped boys that are murdered in cold blood is not the world that Hashem has envisioned. Mitziyut shel olam ha-sheker ve-azuma. This is a world of falsehood. This is not the world that Hashem wants. When we believe in the world of the perfected world, I understand that this is just a means to an end. This is just a way of fixing ourselves and the world to reach its level of completion. But not for a moment do I believe that this is the way Hashem has envisioned the world, and this is the way the world will remain ad infinitum. Believing in Mashiach, yearning for Mashiach, is yearning with an understanding of what the Yesod HaAmuna, the foundation, the fundamental aspect of faith is about. That we're not living in a perfected world. That I yearn for, I long for the world that Hashem had wanted. That world that He created in Gan Eden. The world where I know good intrinsically, as the Rambam speaks about, Anomal Hashem Elokecha Levavcha, that Hashem will circumcise our hearts. That when the Mashiach comes, it's going to be a natural phenomena to want goodness, goodness will be surrounding us on all sides. It will be a world where we're going to be able to apprehend God. It won't be a world of olam from helam, from concealment. It will be a world of connection, a world of love, a world of intimacy. It will be a world of v'rastich li b'emunah v'yadat et Hashem. We'll betroth Hashem with faith, and He will give us yediyah, knowledge of Hashem, that intimate relationship with Hashem. And therefore, in Source 9, U'la'or zeh yesh lomar shabuna b'viyath Mashiach atzipiya liyeshua. With this in mind, we understand that the belief in Mashiach and the longing for it to come, he maskana mukhracha mamuna shlema, it is the natural upshot from the belief, shiudi hamamin, of the Jew who believes that kibisheshet yamim asa Hashem kol abriya, that in 6 days Hashem created the whole world, and kilo l'tobra, Hashem didn't create the world for this world that's a mess that we're living in, because Hashem wouldn't create the world as a world that's kulo ra, a world of evil, a world that's under the power of evil. This is just a shlav b'derech el ha-tachli. It's just a stepping stone to get to the end. That Hashem first wants darkness to get to light, but the ultimate of creation is when all wickedness will be blotted out from the world, and we will have the understanding and recognition. She'az yitgaleh b'chol abriyah. In the whole world will be revealed. Ki l'Hashem hamlucha u'moshav b'goyim. That Hashem is the ruler. My friends, this is what the Sipita Yeshua is all about. It's Etzem Ha'emuna, it's the belief that Hashem created this world. It's the belief that Hashem has envisioned a world very different than the world we live in. And we long for and we anticipate the world that Hashem had in mind. That is our chiyuv, that's our obligation. And as the Siach Yosef points out in the idea in Source 11, he says, in the name of Rav Dessler, that Shematarat HaGalut Litrachek Ma'olam Hazeh Ma'agashmir HaKuchaba. Our challenge in the physical world is to stay away from the physicality and be able to embrace spirituality. And to be able to realize that what's really meaningful in this world is Chayeh Netzach, the eternal world. And it's not that I want Mashiach to come in order that I should get out of my problems. He says, we have to really be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, Aval HaShela L'mahu Miyachel, when I say I long for Mashiach, what am I longing for? What am I yearning for? Ha'im lo tamu mishifazu gam ratzon ishi lakel ma'alav etzarotav. If I'm yearning for Mashiach to get out of my financial debt, to be able to marry off my children, to be able to have a child or a shidduch, then my life should be easier. Shifa kaso eino tzipia l'mashiach. You're really not longing for Mashiach. El tzipia l'drishat tovat atzmo. You're longing that life should be easier for yourself. Tzipia tal Yeshua is longing for God to be able to be found back in this world. You're longing for the perfected world where we'll have that beauty, that sense, as the Masil Sisharim begins his work, the Ramchal, by saying the greatest pleasure we can have in this world is connection to Hashem. That's why we're here in this world. And you know, my friends, we feel this on such a minute level. You know, you can enjoy a beautiful meal at a restaurant, but how long does it last, right? The effects are very little, except maybe on the weight or heartburn, but that doesn't last. You do a chesed for somebody. You do an act of kindness. You dive in such a beautiful way where you feel connected. You learn. That's a feeling that's unmatched. That's real, deep pleasure. That you can go back to that feeling and be able to re-access that feeling of pleasure. That is just like an eye of a needle of what we're anticipating in the times of Mashiach, which will be a time where we're going to live this pleasure in its entirety. Why do we want Mashiach? For what are we longing for Mashiach? We're longing for the ability to have the ultimate pleasure, the pleasure of knowledge of God, the pleasure of connection to God. And we have to realize that we're missing that right now. Rabbi Friend in source 12, again the same essay continues. He says in 12, we're unfortunately like the 12th grader who told his Rebbe when the class was studying Gemara about anticipating the ultimate salvation, if you tell me it's a mitzvah to want Mashiach to come, I'll want him. But I really don't need Mashiach. I'm learning well. I'm succeeding. Why do I need Mashiach? We suffer from the same problem. We think to ourselves, we're honest, we're from, Yiddishkeit is strong in our city, who needs Mashiach? Since we're no longer in 12th grade, we know better than to articulate our own lack of longing for Mashiach. When we look deep into our hearts, we know that we could ask the same question as that 12th grader. He quotes here where Shimon Schwab gave a beautiful parable for a state of being without Mashiach, as well as for our own blithe unawareness of the situation we're in. Imagine, you're at a wedding. Everyone's well dressed, the band is playing, the photographers are snapping away, the smorgasbord is wonderful, everyone's having a grand time. Only one thing is missing. The bride has not shown up, no matter how attractive the surroundings. Most of us realize that a wedding without a bride is nothing. Well, a world without Mashiach is a wedding without a bride. Only one difference. We don't even realize that the bride isn't here. And this, my friends, is idea number one for today. Sipita li'Yeshua is to realize that we're not living in a perfected world. Sipita li'Yeshua, the longing, the desiring for the Messianic time, is a realization and a longing for the world that Hashem has envisioned. And that it has to be with an awareness that what we're living in today is not the world that God wants. This is not the world where with ease we can connect to our davening, to our learning, where my geschmack, my good feeling comes from my spirituality. We're living in a world where evil surrounds us, where pain is all around, where suffering and sickness and lo'aleinu, orphans and all these terrible things. Young people are being succumbed to illness. This is not the world that Hashem wanted. We are yearning for the perfected world where we don't need to have all of this process. We will reach the result. We'll reach the world of Tikkun. Now, my friends, we come to the second shlav, the second aspect to this. And this is a very interesting question that the Chasam Sofer has on the Rambam. The Rambam, and this is something that's brought in the essay of Rav Pinkus in his Sefer Golos the Geula on the 3 weeks, where he has an essay on Hamunah B'Vietz HaMashiach, belief in the coming of the Mashiach. So he quotes here that we know that the Rambam has Yud Gimel Ikarim, 13 principles of faith that every Jew needs to believe in. And many people have the custom of saying these 13 principles of faith after davening. You can find it in your siddur right after Shacharis in the morning. And again, parenthetically, this is another opportunity to be Mekayim Sipita Yeshua by saying this Ani Ma'amin and really believing it. Ani Ma'amin, right? Shevachol Yom Sheyovo V'afal Pishis Mameya. I believe that Mashiach is going to come. This is, again, a way of being able to practically fulfill Sipita Yeshua. So here, the Chasam Sofer asks on the Rambam the following question. HaChasam Sofer, source 13, Makshela Rambam, Kushya Chasaka. Madu Lamim V'Viyat HaMashiach Zechad Yud Gimel Ikra. Obviously, to believe in Mashiach is very important, don't get me wrong, but why is this part of our fundamental aspects of faith? Understandably, if you don't believe that Hashem exists, there's something wrong here. Understandably, if you don't believe in Tchias HaMeitim and the resurrection of the dead, then you think that Judaism is just for the here and now, and when you die, that's it. It's also wrong, and it's fundamental to our faith. But why do I need the idea of Bias HaMashiach? After all, he says, you know, many people, Kishinit Bonen 15, Nireshe Kola Kushyab, many people have lived in this world without Mashiach. Machoser Matzav Shalom Hayom Ad Kinei Shanechte Tzuchim L'chako L'Atich HaMashiach. There were many Jews who lived fine Jewish lives, Chasam Sofer himself, the Rambam himself, without Mashiach. Like, why? Understandably, I have to believe in Mashiach. No doubt about it. But to make it one of the fundamental aspects of faith, and you don't believe in it, like you're a kofer, like, ask the Chasam Sofer, like, what is it about the Mashiach? I understand it's important, but it's going to be such an aspect of faith. So, again, one answer we gave, because by believing Mashiach, I understand that this world is not the world Hashem envisioned. It's really part of, as the Smat said, the belief in God who created the world. Granted, that's one approach. Rav Pinkus offers another approach. And the other approach allows us an insight into what he says, Al-Vamehi Lokach, et HaMashiach 15, in the asterisk, Anu Tzrichim Bishvil Hayom V'lo Bishvil Hatid. And this is a Chiddush Gemara, if we really understand this. In reality, we don't only need Mashiach for that ultimate time when there'll be perfection in the world. But I need to believe in Mashiach for now, for today. The belief in Mashiach has an impact right now. If I believe today in the Mashiach will come, then I'm a Jew. And if not, I can't live as a Jew. What does he mean by this? So Rav Pinkus, this is so Rav Pinkus in his philosophy and his teachings of Torah, says, Hadarash shel Yahadut shel Yiddishkeit hi kritat v'inim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The whole idea of Judaism is about having a covenant with Hashem. It's not just about reward and punishment. It's the exact opposite of reward and punishment. Kritat Brito Keshem. It's about a relationship. It's about having a connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. What is this about? He says that's why you have, let's give an example first, before we say that's why we have. Let's take an example of a person who owns a business. So let's say the business isn't going so well. So the partners in the business aren't sleeping at night. The people who are the employees who aren't aware of the financial situation, as long as they're getting their paycheck, they're okay. He says, our relationship with Hashem in this world isn't just like getting our paycheck. We have a brit with Hashem. We have a covenant with Hashem. We are like the co-partner who, if Hashem can't sleep at night, we can't sleep at night. And that's why, getting back to what I was going to say before, we have the Brit Ben Afsarit, the Kritat Brit, the covenant between the pieces. In that story, it's a story of Golos. It's a story that we're going to go down to exile. Because the whole story of the Jewish people is how we suffer with Hashem. And when we go into exile, Hashem goes into exile. When Hashem is in exile, we're in exile. There is a connection between us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amar L'Avraham Avinu Shatnai Shakritat Brit. You want to know what the condition of making a treaty with God is? Hilushbo B'yachat. Is to be able to suffer together. If you just want a reward, it doesn't matter what you go through. You'll just get your reward. But if you want a covenant, you want to have a real relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be able to live with Hashem moment by moment. Ride the waves, so to speak. Chayim Mishutafim in 17, Perusham, Lichyot et Ha'oveh, and that means living the here and now, not just the future. So, for example, he says, imagine a chassan and a kala get married. They walk into the cheder yichud. They sit down, and the chassan says to the kala, the groom says to the bride, you know what I'm worried about? I'm worried about that we should have a lot of children so that when I die, there'll be someone saying Kaddish for me. Okay, that's something very nice to worry about. But is that what you should be thinking about the moment that you get married with this kala? You should be thinking about the present. To have a real relationship with somebody. To have a relationship with somebody is based on commonality. It's based on connection. It's based on love. It's based on siyata deshmaya. Of course you can think about the future, but you're not living the future. You have to live the present. When we're talking about Mashiach, we're not just talking about, you know, one day Mashiach will come. No, we're talking about Mashiach is part and parcel of this whole picture of relationship with Hashem. And this is why, and this is the key paragraph at the end of 17, Zeo gam ha'asper matua ha'munah b'viyat ha'mashiach shayechet la'oveh la'ayom. Why belief in Mashiach is about very much today. Today we're in Golos. Today we're far away from Hashem. If we, im anu maminim hayom v'viyat ha'mashiach, if we believe today Mashiach will come, if we believe today that in any minute Mashiach will come, then our lives with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is very much alive. And I understand that the Golos, the exile, the Hester Panim, the concealment of Hashem is only temporary. because I know that we're living through like riding the waves. But Hashem, we're together in this. Today, I know that you're still here because we have a joint partnership. And I feel your presence. And I know that there's going to be a time when this isn't going to be forever. I know that this is just a period we have to go through. But we have a commitment forever. If you don't believe in Mashiach, without realizing that the Shekhinah will one day come back, then you believe that the Golos as is where we're at. And therefore, it's like I'm completely disconnected to Hashem. I have no relationship with Hashem. The only way Habunah Shalanu Maviyat HaMashiach, belief in Mashiach, Yotzeret Lanu Hayom, creates for us today, the way to have a relationship with Hashem today is with the knowledge that Mashiach will come. Because if I don't believe in Mashiach, then I believe that where I'm at today is where it's at. And then if I just look at today in its absolute form, then I am very distant from God. And then God is nowhere in the picture. But if I see it as a totality, I see it as a relationship with Hashem, and we're in it together, then I realize that now is just a state of being. But the state of being will not last forever. At any minute, things can change. And this is really our challenge, my friends. You know, Rav Pinkus speaks about our challenge is, do we live with Hashem in a world of schar va'onesh, reward and punishment? Or do I live with Hashem with really feeling connected with Him? Of imo anochi b'tzara, on both levels. When we're in Golos, we know Hashem feels the pain. And when we're in Golos and Hashem feels the pain, I feel the pain, kivyachol, of the pain Hashem feels as well. Or all am I interested in is, God, I want reward for what I've done wrong, and I understand that there are consequences for a reward for what I've done right, and there are consequences for what I've done wrong. And he says we live in a world of advertisement, of love. You know, you'll love this car, buy this, and you'll love this, and I love this, and I love that. When you're loving all these things, ain't kvar makom b'lev, the double underline in 18, lehovat Hashem yisbarach, you have no place in your heart left to love Hashem. Of course, we daven and we learn. Of course we want Hashem, but that's not Judaism. This is just technicalities. It's just, you know, I can't live without God, but it's not about relationship. Judaism is about 19, Yadud, Hinah, Shayechet, V'chiba, LaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's V'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha, with all of our heart. And that's why we say in the Haggadah, Yilu Kirvanu, we say, Arsine v'lo natan lanu the Torah, if you brought us to Mount Sinai and didn't give us the Torah, Dayenu, it would have been enough because I would have this relationship with you. Of course I need Torah and mitzvot to fortify this relationship. And now I understand why we sit on the floor at Tisha B'Av and we cry. You know what we cry for? I'm crying because I don't feel like I'm missing anything. I'm crying because of that 12th grader who says I'm fine where I'm at. Bizman shebemet chaser lano taikar, when really we're missing the ikar, the major thing, chaser lano ma'ut shel yehudi, we're missing the essence of being Jew, chaser lano tachayim mishutafim and barei olam, we're missing this relationship and connection to Hashem, we're missing this feeling that Hashem is with us, hakol tzad v'shal, we're missing this feeling that it's not complete until I have this vision that Hashem and us will ultimately be reconnected. That where I'm at now is not the end result. When I build these big mansions and I live in this luxury life and I think I have it all and I don't feel I'm missing anything, that's why we need to cry in Tisha B'Av. That's the saddest aspect, when you think you have it and you're missing it. You're having a grand old time at that wedding and you don't even realize the kala isn't even there. And obviously we know, my friends, that Hashem does wake us up. There's a great Gemara in Baba Basra that tells a story about Rabbi Bar Chana. Many stories are about him. Once Rabbi Bar Chana describes a ship voyage in which his boat landed on the back of a whale so huge that he and his fellow sailors mistook it for an island. Sam did even collect in on the whale's back, thinking the whale was an island. Rabba Barbar Chana and his companions disembarked and made a fire in the back of the whale to cook and bake. Eventually, the whale noticed the fire on its back and, to remove the burning sensation, flipped over entirely. Had Rabba Barbar Chana and his companion not succeeded in laying hold of their nearby boat, they would have drowned. The Marsha explains the symbolism of the Rabba Barbar Chana's tail. This is the asterisk in 20. The back of the whale is the various different lands in which we sought refuge, and over the course of time began to think as of our homes. And there we baked and cooked, i.e. we put down roots and raised families. But eventually, the whale turned over to rid itself of the Jews on its back, just as the nations in which we found sanctuary eventually expelled us or permitted the rabble to murder us in the thousands and millions. Whether it was Spain in 1492, Kiev in 1648, or Germany in 1940, the whale has turned over and over again. As long, says Rav Pinkus, as we don't have the Beis HaMikdash, as long as we don't have the Ashras HaShechina, as long as we don't have this relationship, something is missing. And Bechi Zeh, what is our crying about? Ala Ratzon Vakmiha Lidkarvus Lashem. What is the crying during the 3 weeks about? It's about crying for relationship with Hashem. Crying for the Golus HaShechina, as Rav Dessler says, that's found inside of us. That God has withdrawn from ourselves and we don't feel this closeness to Hashem. We don't feel this level of connectivity, of this partnership, of this closeness, of this love toward Hashem. That's what we're crying for. That's what we're yearning for. That's the desire for Mashiach. It's not just for a better life. It's for a life of connection. That's the core. That's the key. V'yadata hayom v'ashevosa lo'becha. No, bring it to your heart. Alkein nekavel, takin olam v'machut shakai. To build a world where we have the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my friends, if we summarize what we've seen, there's an inyan every single day. It's incumbent upon us every day to yearn for Mashiach. If we're missing this, we're missing something fundamental in our faith. Why is it so important? Because it's part of the mitzvah of Amunah. We believe Hashem created the world, and we believe the world is not in its perfected state. But it's more than that, says Rav Pinkus. We believe that Hashem has a partnership with us. And as long as we can hold on to the partnership, to the entire picture, to the entire deal of the partnership, we're living with Hashem right now. We're feeling Hashem's presence now. If I let go of that feeling of the entirety of the partnership, then I'm stuck here in the middle of Golos and God, you know, has gone far away from me. I need to see the entirety to be able to live today with this feeling of closeness. What are we crying for during the 3 weeks, and particularly on Tisha B'Av? We're crying for the loss of this connection. We're crying for the fact that we don't know what we're crying for. We're crying for the fact that we don't know that anything's missing. We're crying for the fact that we find that the 3 weeks are like, you know, 3 weeks, I can't go swimming, and I can't do this, and I can't have music. Oh, what a pain in the neck. We're crying for the discomfort of our lives, but we're not crying for the pain of the Shechina, the pain of living in a world that's not the perfected world as Hashem has envisioned it. Now, my friends, we come into the world of the practical. What can we do to bring Mashiach closer? What can we do to be able to yearn for this messianic vision? So I'd like to, obviously there's a lot to say here. This is not going to be the beginning and end. I just like to highlight on a macro level, and then highlight on a micro level. On a macro level, it's exactly this idea. It is an awareness of strengthening our emunah. When the Beis HaMikdash was around, you see this, the Amderuch of Lugasi speaks about in 22. People would bring Meister Sheni, the second tide, to the Beis HaMikdash, Laman Tilman Liyira. Chumash says, in order to be able to fear Hashem, you'd come to Yerushalayim, you'd see the people learning Torah, you would see the Torah being disseminated by the Sanhedrin, you would see the Kohanim in their work. You felt Hashem's presence. With the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, we've lost this experience of closeness, of being able to really touch the Ashras HaShechina. Ubin Prat 23, Biamenu, Dor Ikvasad Mashiach. In our generation, which is the generation right before Mashiach, it's a generation, Chazal tell us, of Hester Pani Betsi Otzvato. There is a tremendous amount of concealment from God in its height. And there's going to be a lot of minos, a lot of apikorsut, a lot of people won't believe in Hashem. And there's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen that are going to question our emunah in Hashem. Our job, tafkidenu bisman kasheza, the asterisk in 23, hanikra ikvos to mashicha, luchol b'mesiris nefesh, and mochamed hamuna. Job number one, to bring Mashiach closer. Job number one, as part of our anticipatory march toward Mashiach, is to strengthen Emunah, to fight with Emunah, l'shecher u'l'kazav et hamikrav ha'korach ha'tivi, that things aren't coincidental, that everything that happens, every missile has a target, every siren has a purpose of awakening. Whatever is happening, la'meta tashkocha v'agzera, to be able to see the truth in everything that's happening, that there is nothing for naught, and that everything has direct tashkacha prati. So one of our jobs in this generation is to strengthen as much as we can our belief in Hashem. And it's going to be a challenge. Chavle Mashiach, they say, it's like a rope. You have to hold on tight to the string because it's shaking a lot. Our belief in Hashem, where is God, where are our tefillos, all of these questions will shake us to our root. We'll see so much sickness and illness and death of young people that makes absolutely no sense. Hold on tight. There's a larger picture going on here. Likewise, says Rav Lugassi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us tremendous amount of technology at this time, and that's part of our challenge as well, to be able to use the technology for what it was meant for, right before Mashiach, to disseminate godliness throughout the world, that everyone should be able to learn Torah, everyone should be able to read Torah thoughts, and be able to be very careful not to fall into the trap of using this technology to bring yourself further away from God into the world of znus, into the world of promiscuity, etc. And that we have to be very, very careful on and how dangerous this technology is. With every good thing has a lot of negative, and we have to be able to try to only use it for the positive. That's one aspect, to focus in on our emunah, to focus in on being able to channel a world into a world of kedusha, when there is tuma, when there is impurity, alkol tzad vishal, at every step of the way. The second aspect, and again, these are very broad strokes to work on, says the Tal Lechayim on his sefer about the Geula in 25. He says, "So misimat hador v'geula, our job of our generation, is found in the pasuk Uva l'tzion goel, and a redeemer will come to Zion, u'l'shavei pesha b'Yakov nubashem, and to those who return from sin in Yaakov." How will the Redeemer come? How can we bring the Geula? B'emsa'ut shavei pesha v'Yaakov. It's by bringing people back, by us doing tshuva, l'itarer ba'oz l'shivat Yisrael l'avim shema shamayim. So one level, it's for us, each individual, to, as we just mentioned, reinforce and strengthen our relationship with Hashem. Our davening should be better, our learning should be better, our chesed should be better, our connection to Hashem should be better. And to bring others as well, the tshuva movement, closer to Hashem. And Rav Lugassi, albeit, speaks about in the next chapters about the tshuva movement, how one should, you know, try to encourage co-workers and neighbors who don't know anything about Yiddishkeit to try to bring them closer. He begins by first saying that the feeling of tshuva, that we should all return together to Hashem, has to begin with a feeling of achdus, of unity among Klal Yisrael. Shetchilato hi etzem hargashat achdut b'toch ha'am. The first step is to bring the people together as much as possible, right? It's not one or the other, but simultaneous with bringing people from outside the fold is to bring people in the fold that they should be able to unify together. That you'll be able to get the people within different camps to be able to talk together, to have a deeper connection with each other. As he says so beautifully at the end of 26, Ki ein lecha tzibur v'adam Yisrael. There's no community or no individual, she'eino yachol leitiv imasavavim oto, who can't bring goodness to others, ulevarcham abracha mitzuya bekirbo, and to bring blessing that's found from within him. Hakfur v'kifaon, b'marechere yachasim chokim en nekudat ha'or she'esh bekulanu, ve'namas shirim lahem lafrod zed zev latzmiat peirot na'im v'niflaim. Such a beautiful line in 27. The coldness, the ice of our relationship with others doesn't allow us to be able to bring forth fruit, bring forth warmth and goodness. We know that Klal Yisrael received the Torah, which was a step of redemption. But Mamad Arsina Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Achar, as Rashi says, they encamped as one, the Chumash says, Rashi notes, Kish Achad B'Lev Achad, one man, one with one heart. A prerequisite for bringing Mashiach together is that we should become Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael Largish Bilvaveinu, to feel in our hearts at Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, the brotherhood of all of Israel, and to be able to share Torah and insight, to be able to say hello to people, to be able to bring people together, and not have all of these walls that are built up, this camp and that group, and this one doesn't talk to that one, and that kippah, and that one looks like this, and this one looks like that. Acheinu kol Beit Yisrael, which indeed, my friend, at least in Eretz Yisrael, I think all over the world, was very much felt with these 18 days of these three kedoshim, of these three boys, where all of Klal Yisrael came together. That is Mashiach momentum. That is the M&Ms that we have to be working on. The M&Ms of our existence, what is sweeter beyond anything is of Mashiach momentum, is being able to bring people together. And the Manchester Rav in Inspiration and Insights notes this. He says at the end of our first Baruch on Shemone Esrei, we say, V'zocher chastei avot, who recalls the kindness of the patriarchs, Umevi goel ivnei v'neihem, and who brings redemption to their sons, l'man shmo be'ava, and we end off, Magen Avraham. Avraham Avinu represents chesed. What will bring Mashiach? Chesed. The patriarchs are men of extraordinary faith who overcame trial upon trial with love and devotion. Yet it is their kindness that we mention in this blessing. For it is their ben otam l'chaveiro, their interaction with their fellow men, that will ultimately bring about the redemption. And if we take a look at the Haftorah of Yom Kippur morning, which focuses on the purpose of fasting and the proper manner of tshuva. So he says, why did you see when we fasted, the people asked, we afflicted ourselves, but you ignored it. This is Yeshaya 58. And Hashem answers, because on your fast day you sought out personal desires, you oppressed all whom you grieved, because you fast with grievance and strife, and strike with a wicked fist. And he goes on to say, surely this is the fast I choose. Open the bonds of wickedness, dissolve the groups that pervert justice, let the oppressed go free and annul all perverted justice. Surely you should divide your bread with the hungry and bring the moaning poor to your home. When you see the naked, cover him and do not ignore your kin. Then your light will burst forth like the dawn and your healing will speedily sprout. Then your righteous deed will precede you and the glory of Hashem will gather you in. And likewise he notes in Manchester Rav on Tisha B'Av, the day on which both the first and second Batei Mikdash were destroyed, is a day for reflection and introspection. It is imperative that on this day we embark on the path of tshuva and at the same time involve ourselves in the needs of our fellow Jews so that Hashem will hearken to our cries and restore us to our land. So my friends, on the macro level, what should we be involved in our M&Ms, the Mashiach momentum? It's about being able to be strong in our amunah, be strong in our faith, be strong in our conviction, be able to utilize that which we have for the proper things, as well as creating unity down here, making sure to look out for a fellow man, whatever type they may be able to be sensitive to the needs of every Jew. That, Yeshaya Navi says, is what's going to bring Mashiach. V'zocher chastei avot, umei v'go el v'nei b'neihem chesed. the 3 weeks is a gewaltic time to go above and beyond with Chesed projects with Ben Adam Chaveiro. You know, kids are bored. What do they do in the summer? Get them involved in volunteering. Get them involved in helping others. Get them involved in what the way to bring Mashiach is all about. If that's the macro level, let's focus briefly on the micro level. Obviously, davening for Yeshua is fundamental, right? We daven every day, right, for Etzemach Dovi, V'techas Enenenu. We look forward to Hashem returning to Tzion. All of these, right, Uvenei Yushalayim, rebuild Yushalayim, and as Rav Wolpe says, during the 3 weeks, we need to be able to almost like flag them in our sitter, in our bencher, and say them out loud, say them with more fervency, that we really want it. But it's more than that. Says in the Siva Shalom the following. He says, "Svarim HaKadoshim shebekoach hamuna olam shiach hadavar shemamim bo." There's an idea that the Svarim HaKadoshim bring, that when somebody really believes in something, and somebody is wholeheartedly going after something, that in its real sense brings the thing closer. B'schus hamuna nikolo osein Mitzrayim, and it was in the merit of hamuna that our forefathers got out of Egypt, and it's going to be in that merit that we are going to be redeemed now. Shakoach lamshich et ha-geula, 29 asterisks, hi amuna ba-Hashem v'tzipiyah le-Yeshua. What's going to bring Mashiach, believing in Mashiach and yearning for it? Because the more we yearn for something, the more we bring it closer. And this is clear that Rav Pinkus and Shabbos Malkus points out that the geula in Mitzrayim, ma haita ikar sibat ha-geula, what was the reason why they were redeemed? Mipnei she-ratzu li-gael, because they wanted to be redeemed. Ubakshu et ha-geula, and they asked for redemption. And he quotes here Rashi, who said, why did so many Jews die in the 3 days of darkness? Listen to the language of Rashi. What was their sin? Shelo ratzu latzei. They didn't want to leave. She yisoda geula hi beikar mipnei haratz only goel. What is Sipita Lishua about? It's not just lip service, mehera, to say it, to say the animamins, but to believe in it, to want it, to yearn for it, to recognize my life isn't a life. My relationship with Hashem isn't the way it should be without Mashiach. The more I yearn for something, the more I desire something, the more I create its reality. And that's true both on a global level as well as on a personal level. The more I yearn for a personal salvation, the closer I am for being redeemed. And that's why it says, let's see, Shalom 31, the Yetzer Hara works so hard, levavela tada, that we shouldn't yearn for Mashiach, because he knows that the yearning for it has a magic effect of bringing Mashiach closer. And my friends, this is, as Mechtam Eliyahu notes in 34, this is what we say in our Kedusha on Shabbos morning in Chakras. Mimkomcha Malkeinu Tafia, from your place Hashem reveal yourself. That's from above. V'tim lo chaleinu, and rule over us, that we should be able to have the Omachut Shamayim, the yoke of Hashem's kingship. And how? Ki mecha ki manachnu lach. Because we yearn for it. It's the she'ifa, it's the chalos ha-nefesh for gilui shel Mashiach. That's how it's going to bring Mashiach. Ki mecha, ki manachnu lach. Because we're yearning for Mashiach. We're longing for it. And the example that he gives is, if a person, lo aleinu, has a very sick person in the house, and you're waiting for the doctor to come, no matter how many times someone knocks at the door, no matter how many times you hear the rustling, you're going to get up. Maybe it's the doctor right now. Maybe it's the doctor right now. That's how we should feel for Mashiach. Maybe he'll be here right now, this moment. The yearning for the Mashiach is our job. But it's a yearning which is a feeling of right now, this minute. It's an emotional feeling, not just a lip service. Our final idea for today, my friends. There's one important hara to note, and we touched on it at the beginning, and that's why we'll close with it at the end. It's an idea that Rosi Meyer Silverberg brings in Sichos Yizchaz put on this essay, Avodat Tzipiti Lishua, where he says in 35, there's a pasuk, the last nevuah, the last chapter of the last prophet, 35, describes the end of time. And it says, the opening line, Hinei Shaleach Malachi, I'm going to send you my angel. Ufinat Derech Lefanai, it's going to pave the way. Upitom yavo el hechalo hadon asher atem vakshim umalach habrit asher atem chafetzim hinei ba amar Hashem Tzvakot. How is it going to come? Pitom yavo el hechalo. It's going to come suddenly. We have to believe that Mashiach's coming is going to be like the blink of an eye. It's going to come without us even realizing it. Mehera, with quickness. That Hidgalut HaMashiach in 37, Yebe Peta Pitom, V'lo Yachshavu Al Yom HaZeh Shel Geula. We're not even going to think, hey gee, today could have been the Geula. And everyone's going to be involved. V'yeh Kol Echad Terubin Yanavo Be'iskav, U'beli Hoda Klal Pitom Nishra B'sarat HaGeula B'sarat HaShem Yitbarach. How's Mashiach going to come? It's going to come suddenly. People are going to be, you know, at work and on the bus, and the kids aren't going to be in school. Suddenly Mashiach is going to come. And the Chafetz Chaim describes this. When the Navi says, Ha'am ha'ochim b'choshech, the nation that are walking in darkness, Ra'u or Gadol, will see a great light. It's not going to be a light like, you know, the sun rises and a little bit of light, a little bit of light. No! This nation that's living in darkness, in the darkness of Golos, in missiles overhead, suddenly, Ra'u or Gadol, they're going to see a great light. That is how Mashiach is going to come. And that's part of our belief in Mashiach. It's not just to believe Mashiach is going to come. It's a belief that Mashiach can come at any single minute. And he'll come behesachada, without us even realizing that he's coming. And that's why the Chafetz Chaim note in 41, and that is that a person who plans their day should think in their planner, you know what? What would happen if Mashiach should come today? And how would my day look if Mashiach would come? I have to, like, you know, re-envision my whole day. I have to go to the airport. I have to get on a plane. I have to pack up. That's how we should live. We should live with the understanding and realization that Mashiach can come at any minute. And we're not even going to be aware. It's not even going to be like, yeah, we have all the signs that Mashiach is coming. We've seen it. It's like, you know, with neon lights. The Gedolim have said, Mashiach is on up. Mashiach bapetach. It's at the doorway. But when is he going to appear? It's going to be behesachada, without us even realizing it. He's just going to come. And as the Sichor Yitzchak says, the more we believe in this, the more we anticipate this, the more we look over our shoulder, oh my gosh, I can't believe it, why was it at this moment? The more we are living right now with the light of Mashiach, it gives us an energy, it gives us a desire, it gives us momentum right now. The living with Mashiach brings us, within us, momentum of feeling Mashiachut right here. And that gives us a certain energy in our service of Hashem, a longing, a connection, right here and right now. So my friends, when we talk about what can we do for Tzipita Yeshua, we mention a number of things. Saying Aleinu with Kavana, saying the Yud Gimel Ikrim every day, learning, yearning for it, longing for it, working on our Amunah and Hashem, the M&Ms, working on our Achdus, our unity, bringing people, Ushava Pesha V'Yakov, bringing people back to Yiddishkeit, all of this is included. On an individual level, it's about davening for Mashiach with a passion. When I say, Uvenei Yushalayim, Rachina, Betzemach Dovi, to really feel it, right? Flag it in our sitter to make ourselves stop. And Betechazeni Nebeshuvcha, Lutzil, Berach, I mean, we feel Hashem coming back. This is what we should be focusing in on all year long, particularly the 3 weeks. And to the extent we want something, to that extent, we draw it near. But we always have to have the realization that Mashiach is going to come without us even realizing it's there. That it's just going to come right away. And that's this idea that's brought in the arrow in 39. The question that was asked was, how can we always talk about Mashiach when Chazal say that Mashiach will be behesach hadat, without us even realizing it, without even thinking about it, Mashiach will be here. So, and he answers what he answers, but it reminds me, and with this we will conclude, of Tuesday night when, living in Ramat Beit Shemesh, we've also been feeling the Acheinu Kol Beit Yisrael, we've also been feeling the sirens, albeit not as much as the people in other areas. So Tuesday night, after another siren sounded, and my daughter was at a friend having a sleepover, and we brought her home. We'd rather have her nearby than at a friend. So it's, you know, midnight now, and everyone's trying to, you know, relax a little bit. So my 12-year-old granddaughter takes my wig, and she starts brushing it, and I said, Hanlu, what are you doing at 12 o'clock at night? She said, Ima, Mashiach is here at any minute. You have to be able just to be able to put it on and be ready for Mashiach. Have your clothes ready. And then she looked at me and she said, but Ima, on the one hand, we're supposed to be thinking about Mashiach all the time. On the other hand, when we don't think about it, he comes. So should I think about him or should I not be thinking about him because I want him to come? Halavai, that should be our issue. That's my bracha, that we should have that quandary of should I be thinking about him or should be thinking about him while brushing the wig, getting ready for Mashiach, because he's odd. He's any second, he's at the door. My friends, we should be zocha that these 3 weeks turn, as the Navi tells us, that the fast of the 17th of Tammuz, the fast of Tisha B'Av, as well as all the other fasts, Navi Zachariah tells us, will turn into days of Sussan, of Simcha, days of rejoicing, days of celebration. And may we not be sitting in mourning during these 3 days, but we're instead be celebrating the coming of Mashiach Mamish today, in our time, without Bimhei Rabbi Aminu, Hayom, today, Behesach Adah, without even realizing, we turn around and Mashiach is here. This, my friend, concludes our Hodel Hashem Ki Tov, Kilom Chasdo, another year of Shiurim, as we now enter into a summer break. And if Mashiach should not be here, or perhaps even if Mashiach is here, we will Mirtz Hashem pick up at the beginning of Chodesh Elul with, once again, the tremendous Siyata Dishmaya, with a Karas HaTov to the Borei Olam for bringing us till here, and he should continue for many years to come with the Mirtz Hashem, another year of Parsha Shiurim.